Hi, I'm Veronica Rickard, keeping you company today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm glad to have you along today, too. This hour, we continue our series of conversations with spokespeople from the campaigns of the current presidential hopefuls. Yesterday, we talked with a spokesperson from the Obama campaign, and today we're joined by Jay Carson, Hillary Clinton's traveling press secretary. He'll be talking with us about the lead-up to Wisconsin's historic February 19th primary and whether Hillary Clinton is really trying to compete in Wisconsin or maybe looking on ahead to Ohio and Texas, which have been deemed must-win. But first, we're occupied with a heated race of our own. We're getting down to the wire here in our winter membership drive. And this is your last day to pledge for Kathleen Dunn's program, and we need your help. The program is really a labor of love for Kathleen Dunn, for producer Rhonda Fanning. They really put their hearts into the program to make it the best it can be, to bring you the most interesting, insightful voices. Won't you say thanks and help support it by calling with your pledge today, in fact, right now, at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. We have a $3,000 goal this hour, and you can help us get there. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Joy Cardine. Hi, Joy. Thanks for staying here and talking with us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks very much, Veronica. Good to be here. A $3,000 goal. I was just going to suggest that, being that it's the last day of this winter pledge drive, at least the last weekday of this winter pledge drive, that maybe we can do even better than that with your help. You love Kathleen Dunn's program. You listen on a regular basis. You really appreciate hearing all of the wide variety of nationally and even world-renowned guests showing up on this program day in and day out. You love the talk about politics and the talk about culture and other issues as well. And you want to help support it with a pledge of support at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Your pledge right now is a vote, in a way, for this kind of quality programming and for the types of issues and topics and guests that are presented on Kathleen Dunn's program. You know, Veronica, I know that this has been fun in some ways for you to be able to fill in for the whole week for Kathleen, but this was presented to you sort of at the last minute because, as listeners know, Kathleen suffered a mild heart attack just before the pledge drive, and she hasn't been able to be on the air, but we are very thankful, Veronica, that you were able to fill in for Kathleen.
It has been a pleasure, as much as we miss Kathleen, but I hope she's listening along, and I know that her wheels are already turning, thinking of shows to produce when she gets back.
I know it is, and we know that Kathleen is itching to get back to talk with you on the program, and I know that it's important to her that the program do well during these pledge drives, because she really does want to serve you with hosting the best programs possible, and it is important for the programs to also raise the amount of money of listener support that we need to pay for the programming. You can do that by calling 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org. Pledge any amount. That makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It goes into the pot and helps pay for all of the programs that you value on Wisconsin Public Radio. Consider the $10 a month pledge if you would like the member benefit card. That's about the average pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, $120 a year or more.
And again, we do have a $3,000 goal this morning. We are going to be talking with our guest in just a few minutes, and this is the last day to pledge for Kathleen Dunn's program. We do hope to hear her back on the air maybe as soon as in a week, and that would be a wonderful thing, and how wonderful for you to hear her voice again and know that you supported the great programming, that you supported Rhonda Fanning representing the producer, and Wisconsin Public Radio in general. Wisconsin Public Radio is here for you, and it's time for you to be here for Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a two-way street now, and we welcome your call. And don't forget to tell us what you'd like to hear, what you've enjoyed in the past, and all of your comments. We take those as well. The important thing to do, though, is to decide to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio and support it. Our volunteers are standing by. Pledging is quick. It just takes a few minutes of your time, and it feels good. So won't you call with your pledge this morning at 1-800-383-9772.
Make that pledge right now. Be as generous as you can. Help us stay on track during this pledge drive, which ends tomorrow. But this is your last opportunity if you're a regular listener to Kathleen Dunn's program and you're listening right now. You might not be listening tomorrow. Now is your last opportunity to call in that pledge that you know you've been thinking of doing. You've been listening along thinking, I'll get around to it. I'll do it one of these days. Well, this is the last day for Kathleen Dunn's program during this pledge drive. So please do call in and support this program at any amount that is comfortable to you. Be that $10, be that $10 a month, be that $100 a month. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Think about an hour you heard that has really kept you thinking, that has changed your life maybe. Maybe it doesn't go too far to say that. It's something that has really touched you in a way. Maybe it was Nora Ephron talking about her book, I Feel Bad About My Neck.
I loved that program, and I started looking at my neck.
Yeah. It's lovely, Joy.
And I love the programs that Kathleen has done with... I'm going to forget. She does a lot of dog Marley and Me. She talked to the author of Marley and Me. She talked to the author of John Katz, I think his name is, who's done a number of other dog books. And Alan Alda was an interview that touched me when I was listening to Kathleen's program. Those on top of all of the political information and information you need to know to be an informed voter this coming Tuesday.
That's right. That's a value to you. That's why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. We'd like to talk about the politics and keep current in what's going on in the political world and the world at large. But we also like to have fun and just talk about our pets or take a look at our neck in the mirror. All of that matters. It matters to you. That's why you listen. And this is the time to support that great programming that has enhanced your life and made you think about the world a little bit differently. Won't you call us at 1-800-383-9772? You can make a significant difference in helping us reach that $3,000 goal.
And I know that if that goal is met, that Kathleen will be thankful for your pledge at 1-800-383-9772.
And we thank you for that call. And thank you, Joy. We'll be talking to you a bit more.
See you later.
Joy Cardine with us there, and we'll be talking with her a little bit later. In the meantime, we'll be joined by Jay Carson, Hillary Clinton's traveling press secretary. Jay Carson, thank you so much for making the time to talk this morning.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You know, current polling here in Wisconsin, I was checking it out yesterday, it shows that Barack Obama is leading Hillary Clinton currently, either by a narrow margin, maybe about 3% or 4%, or as much as 50 to 41%. How much stock are you putting in these numbers right now?
You know, I think if there's anything that we've learned during this primary period, it's not to put too much stock in polls. I think had we done that, we would have given up before New Hampshire and several other times along the way where polls showed us down by a great deal, only to be proven wrong when the actual polls opened and people turned out to vote and gave Senator Clinton some very important victories. So we are we're not focused on polls. What we're doing is focused on seeing as many people in Wisconsin as we can between now and Tuesday and trying to do as well as we can.
Well, former President Bill Clinton, of course, has been in Wisconsin, and so has Chelsea Clinton. But last I heard, we weren't scheduled to see Hillary until Saturday, which is lending a little bit weight to perhaps the idea that maybe she is conceding Wisconsin and looking at the bigger game, looking at Ohio and Texas.
Not at all. I mean, you know, we have been running a 50-state campaign from the beginning, so I think, you know, we haven't written off a single state while we continue to focus on a lot of states, but Wisconsin is extremely important to us, and she is looking forward to getting there tomorrow, which is Saturday after all. And she, of the two candidates, she is the only one to have accepted a debate offer in Wisconsin. Senator Obama continues to refuse to do that, which we think is somewhat disrespectful to the voters of Wisconsin. So she's really looking forward to getting there tomorrow and is going to be there pretty much straight through Tuesday, during which she'll have plenty of time and a lot of events to see people all over the state.
Well, I want to ask you about that proposed debate in Marquette. So Senator Clinton has accepted. Is it that you have not heard either way from Barack Obama's campaign, or is it that he has declined?
Well, it seems that they've declined, which we just don't understand. You know, they make a lot of noise about how we've already done 18 debates. Well, 17 of those 18 debates were with as many as 9 or 10 people on the stage, including a number of people who have been out of the race for a long time, and I think everyone feels that the most productive debate we've had so far was between the two candidates, Senators Clinton and Obama, one of whom will actually be the nominee. You know, we've only had one debate of that kind. We've got a couple of others scheduled, but Senator Clinton feels it's very important to sit down and actually discuss these things head-to-head, which we're not able to do when we have competing schedules traveling around the country. You hear a speech from her, you hear a speech from him, but voters don't get the opportunity to actually see them discuss the issues. And so we feel that's very important. Obviously, the Obama campaign, Senator Obama, seems to disagree with that, but we hope that they will reconsider because we feel like the people of Wisconsin deserve better than that. They have historically been willing to debate in states where they are behind, but not in states where they are ahead, because historically Senator Clinton has done better in the debate format than Senator Obama, which I think should give Democratic voters pause before they consider sending him ahead to debate a very accomplished debater in John McCain.
Well, just a couple of days ago, Senator Clinton started running an ad highlighting that debate and how Senator Barack Obama had not responded. And even more recently, she seems to have sharpened her attacks on Obama and, in specific, his ability to deliver on his rhetoric. Is this something that's going to be getting more and more of a spotlight as we head towards Tuesday and for the rest of the election cycle?
I think contrasts are extremely important in an election of this importance. Everyone should take a step back and remember that we are picking potentially a president here, but certainly a nominee for the most important job in the world. And it's important for voters to, as they make this important choice, to know the differences between the candidates. And no one could take Senator Obama's speaking ability away from him. He is an exceptional orator. But many times in his career, he has not backed up that oratory with actually delivering results. Senator Clinton's a great speaker, though she rarely has this exceptional, inspirational quality of Senator Obama. But what she does do is she works hard and she delivers. And we think that voters will see that as an important distinction, not someone who will just say the words, but who will actually back them up with action. And you saw her talk a great deal yesterday about speeches versus solutions. And I think you'll continue to see her and the campaign drawing that contrast because, again, we are faced with such a critical decision here. We cannot make the decision that we have made the last two times in the Democratic Party and put up a candidate that ends up not winning. Not to take anything away from those two candidates, but we have got to put up someone this time who will beat the Republicans.
There was a recent quote in the paper from James Carville who said that Clinton could recover from a loss in Wisconsin. And I'm wondering how much weight the campaign is putting on Wisconsin. You say it hasn't been conceded by any means, but how important is Wisconsin?
Well, we have a significant amount of staff in Wisconsin. We have one of the most talented field organizers that I have ever come across in three presidential campaigns, and Teresa Villemain, who is there. We are by no means, certainly far from conceding it, we are competing as heavily as we can there. We are behind, and it will be a tough fight for us, but Senator Clinton's been in a lot of tough fights before. We were in a tough fight in New Hampshire. We were in a tough fight in a lot of the Super Tuesday states, and we feel good about our abilities in Wisconsin, and we are going to compete as hard as we can between now and Tuesday, and we have been for quite a while.
Talking this hour with Jake Carson, Hillary Clinton's traveling press secretary. We'll be speaking more with him in just a few moments after this break. In the meantime, why not call in and join the conversation with your questions for the Clinton campaign? Tell us what you're thinking on this lead up to Wisconsin's primary on February 19th. The number to call to join in is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. We do have an open line for you. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Wisconsin Public Radio at 1 o'clock, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. After 1, join Ira Flato on Talk of the Nation for a look at ways to strengthen science and government, from getting good science advisors to letting federal scientists speak freely. That's coming up after 1 on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are talking this hour with Jake Carson, Hillary Clinton's traveling press secretary. And Jake Carson, you know, I've always wanted to know, the candidates are covering, as you said, 50 states in the race for the nomination. I wonder, what kind of relationship do they really have with the state? When Hillary Clinton comes to Wisconsin, is it just a blur of snow and barns to her? Or what kind of connection do they have?
It's a great question, and this has been the most intense primary in recent history, and probably ever, given the accelerated news cycle and the accelerated cycle of states. I mean, we are, in the period leading up to February 5th, trying to cover 22 states in what was essentially an eight-day period from the last contest until February 5th. We've got a little bit more of a little bit looser schedule now, but not very much. There's still a lot of ground to cover. That being said, you really dig into a state when you go visit it. At least Senator Clinton does, and she has a long, because of her time, her 8 years as First Lady, during which she traveled the country on behalf of the president a number of times. She has a very strong relationship with. She has a very strong relationship with almost every state that she visits. So it is often not the first time. Or even the 10th time that she's visited a state, and I'm constantly astounded as I travel with her that when we show up in a place that I didn't even realize that she had been in recent years, she's met by tons of people who come up to her and say, I remember when you were here in 98, or I remember when you were here in 99, or I remember when you were here a few years ago or earlier in this campaign. And she often has friends in these places. So You have a deeper connection than she has a deeper connection than you might think, given how much ground we're trying to cover in such a short amount of time. But it is really a whirlwind out there. But the whirlwind is really the travel, and when you're in a state, you really do dig in and try to spend as much time hearing from actual people as possible. She is great about that. She finishes her speeches and goes down to the rope line. She usually takes questions after speeches, and then she goes into the rope line and tries to spend time talking one-on-one with people. And I'm always amazed at the stories that people will tell her one-on-one. They feel a real connection to her, and people share some of their most private secrets and problems with her and try to get her help. And she's often able to do things to help them, and she carries those stories along on the road with her. I know, for instance, that after we spend the next 4 days in Wisconsin, that by Wednesday morning she will have Wisconsin stories that are a part of her speech, and she'll say, "I met an auto worker in Milwaukee 2 days ago, and he said, et cetera, about his healthcare problems." So she carries those stories from people around the country with her.
Jake Carson, I want to get our callers in on this, so let's go to the phones and take one from Rick in Green Bay. Hi, Rick, you're on the air.
Yes, I hear a lot about Hillary's accomplishments, but I think the one thing that she's really identified with is the health care issue that she tried to push through, and that was a complete failure. And I can't see where people are saying that she has any more detailed plans than Barack Obama. I just don't see it. If anybody is interested in looking, tell me one thing that she has more plans for than Barack.
Well, why don't we start with the first part of the question, which is that she tried to get this done in 1993 and 1994, and she did fail. But I think how someone responds to failure says a lot more than how they respond to success. She continued to try to push this issue. She was able to. She was a leading voice in getting the Children's Health Insurance Program passed, which covers millions of kids around the country. She continued to push for veterans' health care, for TRICARE. She has been a leader in the field of health care for her entire life. And so while in a very lonely fight during which she did not have nearly as many allies as she probably should have in 1993 and 94, she was unable to get that done. She's continued to push this issue and is the only candidate left in this race, John McCain and Barack Obama included, who has a universal health care plan that covers every single American. Senator Obama leaves 15 million people uncovered, which I just think, and I think a lot of Democrats think, is unconscionable for a Democratic candidate to be pushing a health care plan that doesn't cover everyone. 15 million people. Senator Clinton often says from the stage, you know, who would Senator Obama leave out? Would he leave you out? Would he leave you out? Would he leave you out? How does he decide which 15 million people in the country are left out? So I think that we start from a losing position if we nominate a candidate who doesn't cover every single American. So it is difficult, and it will be a serious fight again to get this done. But Senator Obama wasn't even willing to take on that fight. And this goes to some of the points I was making earlier, that you hear a lot of great rhetoric from Senator Obama, but when it comes to actions, he doesn't back them up. And on this leading issue of health care, which I think any Democrat has to be for universal health care, we have two candidates and only one of them is for universal health care.
Well, Senator Obama has billed himself as a centrist, and I know that we hear again and again with Senator Clinton that she is a polarizing figure. You hear that word again and again. And I wonder what you would say to voters, you know, maybe like Rick, who are wondering if Senator Clinton got the nomination, would she be able to compete in a general election against John McCain? I think current polls have her standing about even on that, with Obama having a little bit better lift in the numbers there. But could she get things done with this sort of historical vitriol kind of tagging along behind her?
Well, I think this is always an interesting question, and the truth is her numbers that you mentioned are because she has been leading the fight and has been the victim of Republican attacks for almost 15 years because she has stood up and fought. But the upside to that is that there's nowhere, those numbers won't go up. There's nothing about her people don't know. She's tested, she's vetted, and she knows how to respond to Republican attacks. She's been standing up to and taking on the Republicans and winning for years. And the idea that we might nominate a candidate who has not stood up to those attacks, Senator Obama has never had a single negative ad run against him. So his negatives have nowhere to go but sky high. And I think we feel like it is very important for Democrats to nominate someone who's tested and ready and knows how to fight. Look, I think we saw in 2004 what happens when you nominate a candidate who doesn't know how to respond in a national contest. We ended up losing because we had a candidate who believed that when the Republicans took a brickbat to him, that he could simply stand on his record and have people continue to believe that he was a genuine war hero, which, by the way, he was. But the Republicans don't play that way. They actually find out what your strength is and try to tear you down. If you don't understand that at a fundamental level, which Senator Clinton does, then you will probably lose to them. And so she is the most tested and the most ready candidate that we have. I think it's very important that we have a nominee who knows how to take them on, and not a nominee who has never in his life been in a difficult race. He has been in a difficult contest.
Well, she has been tested as a senator and a first lady. Is there a degree of difference there when you're running for president? I would think that would be maybe a degree of opposition she had never faced before.
Well, she's competed against Republicans on a national stage, and look, this isn't always a fight. I mean, you know, she believes that it's important that you stand your ground when Republicans are trying to, say, privatize Social Security or take away or fight against universal health care. But it's also important to find common ground. And one of the reasons is she won overwhelmingly in New York State, which has a very, very Republican upstate. She won 90% of the counties that George Bush won in 2004. And that is because she finds common ground when there is common ground to be found. But she knows how to, when it is necessary, she knows how to take on the Republicans and win. And she's done it time and time and time again. And she would she would do it as a nominee. And it's one of the reasons that I think we're all working hard to make sure that she is the nominee.
Let's go back to the phones and take a call from Richard in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Richard. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for the program.
You're welcome.
Kind of ironic. My wife and I were having a discussion among ourselves. We're both very good Democrats. No matter who wins, we'll be supporting them. But speaking of knowing how to fight, my point with my wife was that I see a lot of energy on the Clinton camp focusing on those votes from Michigan and Florida that before the race started were not in play, but now could very possibly be in play. And another lot of energy being spent on working the superdelegate side of things. And my question, I guess, would be, if it becomes apparent that the number of votes out there are falling towards Obama, does Hillary back off at any point? Or does she say, listen, this is bare knuckles, boys. This is how we fight this, and we're really prepared to go into the trenches on these other two approaches?
Well, I think it's a good question, Richard, but I think we're a long way from there. We have two very good candidates who are essentially tied in delegates. We have a number of important contests, including Wisconsin still upcoming, Texas and Ohio on March 4th. And so I think we're a long way from anyone deciding whether they're going to stay in and get out. There are millions of people whose voices still have yet to be heard. And with respect to Florida and Michigan, we just think it's not fair to tell people in two of the most important states in our country that their votes don't count just because some people don't like necessarily how they voted. There is a concerted effort to take names off the ballot in Michigan. There's a concerted effort on the part of some Democrats to tell people in Florida that their votes don't matter. It sounds a lot more like the behavior of James Baker and the Republicans in 2000 than it does of Democrats. So we really hope that people revisit that and the delegates from those two critical states count. But one, out of principle, we think that's the right thing that should happen. But two, from a practical standpoint, the idea that Democrats could win in November of 2008 while telling Florida and Michigan to go jump in a lake just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's like people have forgotten what happened in 2000 with Florida and how critical it is. And Michigan is a critical swing state as well.
Well, and speaking of that scenario, you said that the end of the campaign is a long way off, but we know that campaigns do plan for the whole enchilada. And I'm wondering what would happen in a scenario where Barack Obama won the popular vote, maybe more delegates, but not enough to cinch the nomination. Would Hillary Clinton accept a nomination if it came, if Obama held the popular vote?
Oh, again, I think it's way premature for us to discuss what may happen way down the road. I think right now, if you count the votes, if you count the popular vote from Florida and Michigan, Senator Clinton is ahead in the popular vote. And if you don't count those, then she's slightly behind, essentially tied. So this is a very, very close election. And I realize that some of the narrative right now is that Senator Obama has this great surge going on, but the truth is that's been the narrative three or four times, and I think we've seen what happens when that happens. New Hampshire, February 5th, Nevada, they just called New Mexico for Senator Clinton yesterday. So, it's a close election between two good candidates, and we believe that it should be fought on until there is a clear winner.
Back to the phones now, and thank you, Richard, for that call. Let's take one from Mike in Appleton. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Going to the bare knuckles, and I'd really appreciate a straight answer, not chewing around the edges. Your guest has said that Senator Clinton is tested, prepared, and ready to lead. However, without a doubt, the inactions by the Clintons over the years...
I'm sorry. We lost you for a second, Mike. Could you repeat the first part of that question?
Okay, without a doubt in my mind, the inactions by the Clintons in the first, in the years that they were in the presidency led to 9/11. In other words, we all recall the embassy bombings, et cetera, and our total inaction. How is she going to address that? And I would beg for an opportunity for a rebuttal.
Mike, that is a pretty serious charge to levy there, and I take it very seriously, and I think you should too before making it. But the 9/11 Commission disagrees with you on that. President Clinton worked every day with a tireless focus on catching Osama bin Laden, bombed him twice, was unsuccessful in doing so, but actually did it and had an extremely sharp focus on catching terrorists when he was in the White House, was one of the first people to actually recognize this threat, had a very well-funded office in the White House, which was not continued under President Bush. So I think, you know, the authorities on this, who are the 9/11 Commission and others, concluded that, the assertion, or I would say accusation, that you just made is totally incorrect. And I think that anyone who thinks that a return to the sort of foreign policy that we've seen under this current president is pretty far off. I think it'd be hard to be as wrong on as many issues as this president has been. And I think it's time we get back to a period which we saw in the 90s of unprecedented peace and prosperity, and a focus on reaching out to other nations and not the cowboy diplomacy we've seen from Bush and his cronies.
And Mike, does this answer your question?
Well, fair enough.
All right, thank you. Moving on, we'll go take a call from Derek in Round Lake, Illinois. Hi, Derek, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, good morning. Let's talk about the Michigan primary. This issue was covered well by German media about where Hillary Clinton has promised to take the name off the ballots because of the disfranchisement attempt by the Democratic Party. However, 1 hour before the election, she left the name Remain, therefore she won by default. You know, it's very amazing that somebody who actually coming from the Democratic Party, they're supposed to be for the power to the people, and franchising everybody, plays those type of dirty tricks. And one future, going back to your previous comment, Hillary Clinton got the most money from pharma, more than any other politician. This probably would explain. So please give me
I'm not sure which incorrect fact to start with. Well, the last one's wrong. So is the first one and the one in the middle. But why don't I take the first one to start? I don't know which conspiracy website you've been reading there about we waited until an hour before, and I don't even know which state you were referring to. I'm assuming you mean Michigan. And let me tell you exactly how that went down. The other candidates, all of whom were still in the race at the time, realized that if they could get their names taken off the ballot in Michigan, if they could sue, by the way, they all got lawyers and they sued the state of Michigan. The state of Michigan, a state that has seen almost no economic recovery in the last 15 years, who is probably the hardest hit economically of any of the 50 states in the United States. They sued the state of Michigan to have their names removed from the ballot. Senator Clinton, and by the way, got a lot of credit in Iowa and New Hampshire for doing so. Senator Clinton, when presented with this, and I presented her with the option, she said, there is absolutely no way I'm doing this to the people of Michigan. They need to know that someone in this party is willing to stand up for them. And if I get in trouble in Iowa and New Hampshire for doing it, then so be it. Someone needs to tell these people that someone's on their side. So that is actually what happened. She decided not to sue to have her name removed from the ballot, and thus she was the only person whose name was left on the ballot. These same candidates, because they wanted to do what little kids do when you have a race and someone beats you and you say, I wasn't racing anyway, that was what the other candidates were trying to do. And I will give them credit, they did it with great success in Michigan. They tried to do it in Florida, and the Florida authorities said, you can't sue to get off the ballot here. We're keeping all of your names on because we feel like we need to have a contest here. So that's actually what happened. From someone who was there. So.
Okay, so you're going to leave the other two stand, and we will.
Well, the other two are I don't want to abuse up everyone's time.
All right.
Shooting down the incorrect facts from that, but the pharma claim is wrong, and so is the other one. I can't even remember the other one now.
Okay.
But.
Well, we're talking with Jay Carson. He'll be taking more of your calls in just a moment after this break. Jay Carson, Hillary Clinton's traveling press secretary. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, which we hope you do, do call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us as well at talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickard in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 12:30 today, stay tuned for Chapter a Day. At half past noon on Chapter a Day, Jim Fleming reads from American Creation, Triumphs and Tragedies at the Founding of the Republic by Joseph J. Ellis. That's coming up at 12:30 today on Chapter a Day. Right now, we are talking with Jay Carson, Hillary Clinton's traveling press secretary. I'm Veronica Rickert in for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network today. And Jay Carson, let's go back to the phones now and take a call from Diane in Milwaukee.
Great, thanks.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. Hillary is running partially on her husband's record because she was there, but didn't they pass NAFTA, deregulate corporations? And I thought that Hillary agreed with the Democratic Party not to seat the Michigan and Florida delegation. She agreed with them because they put their voting ahead of time. And now she's going back on her word. It just seems sort of petty to me that she'd do that.
Yeah, she's actually not. Those are great questions. She's actually. It didn't matter whether the candidates agreed or not. The decision to not seat the delegates in Florida had nothing to do with the candidates. That was a decision by the DNC. It was a unilateral decision, and they didn't exactly ask us or Senator Obama or Edwards or Biden or Dodd or anyone else, for that matter, what they thought. The DNC made a unilateral decision to unseat the delegates when Florida and Michigan moved their primaries ahead. So it would be an academic discussion anyway whether she agreed with their not seating the delegates. What the role that the candidates played was that there was a what's referred to now as the pledge, which was circulated by the candidates who realized that they would probably lose Florida and Michigan and thus wanted to make the contest not count. Who tried to get an agreement. Or did actually successfully get an agreement from everyone that they, from all the candidates, that they wouldn't campaign or spend money in the states of Florida and Michigan. She did sign on to that pledge, and she kept to that pledge. She did not break it one time. And by the way, part of that pledge was that you wouldn't air TV advertisements in the state, and Senator Obama did, in fact, air TV advertisements in the state of Florida. So he actually broke the pledge. Senator Clinton stuck to the pledge for the whole time. But believes that we have to, as a party, as we're moving forward, we have got to send a signal to these important states that we care about their votes, to the people of those states. Again, that's what this is about. I'm from Georgia and live in New York now. I can't imagine if someone, I waited as many of you in Wisconsin will on Tuesday, in long lines to vote in the New York primary. And I can't imagine how I would feel if someone had told me afterward, that the morning I took off from work to go vote didn't matter because no one was going to count my vote and my delegates wouldn't count. So I just think that it is whether or not you agree with the principle of it, from a practical standpoint, any Democrats who are listening who believe that we can win the general election in November without Florida and Michigan, I would love to see your math, and if you could do my taxes for me, that would be great also, because you're a very creative counter. We just can't. We have to win Florida and Michigan in November, and there are some very angry voters in those states right now because they've been told by the party and by one of the Democratic candidates that their votes don't matter. And with regard to NAFTA, you're right. The Clinton administration did pass it. Senator Clinton feels that, she doesn't agree with it. She thinks that it has not borne out the successes that that some hoped that it would, and she would put a freeze on all trade agreements to revisit them and revisit what their goals were and whether they're actually working. Because it sounds like you are not a fan of NAFTA, and she would agree with you on that. It has not done what some thought it would.
I want to ask you a question that we asked Susan Rice yesterday from the Obama campaign, and, mm-hmm. and that is a subject which a lot of people have had different takes on, but there have been a couple of op-ed pieces in the New York Times saying that maybe the support of Barack Obama has passed over into something less appealing, whether he's become a cult of personality, and I'm wondering what your take is on that in the Clinton campaign, whether you see that and whether you think that perhaps it could become a liability if it could turn.
Whether Obama's So hold on, I just want to make sure I answer the question correctly. Whether the Obama campaign has become a cult of personality?
Whether Barack Obama has engendered a cult of personality, if you think that is true, and if it's sort of less appealing than you would like to see.
I'll let people who write op-eds for the New York Times decide on that. Look, Senator Obama has excited a great deal of support around the country. So has Senator Clinton, by the way. It's a much more popular narrative to talk about his excitement. But I travel the country with her, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that turn out at every event and are extremely excited for what they hope Senator Clinton can do for their country. I think it's great that both candidates are exciting people. And so I wouldn't take anything away from anyone's supporters. I would hope that no one from the Obama campaign would take anything away from our supporters, and I'm certainly not going to take anything away from his. I do think it is important for Senator Obama and the campaign to put again, to back up some more of the rhetoric with results and back up some of the speeches with action, but that's not to take anything away from his supporters. He has some very strong and fervent supporters, and that's great. I think it says a lot of good things about the Democratic Party right now, because I would, having traveled around with her, I have the benefit of being in the state, in a lot of states where there are Republicans and Democrats campaigning at the same time. And the contrast between a Democratic rally and a Republican rally is unbelievably stark. The Democratic rally, no matter who the candidate is bursting at the seams, and people are screaming and yelling, and they're so excited about the change that they hope that their particular candidate is going to bring for the country. And Republican rallies are flat and sometimes half empty. And I like what that says about our chances in November, though. I think that you know, we need a candidate who still knows how to stand up to them, because Republicans are amazingly adept at snatching victory from the jaws of defeat.
Well, Jay Carson, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great talking to you.
You too. Take care. Talking with Jay Carson, Hillary Clinton's traveling press secretary. And right now, I'm joined by Joy Cardine here in the studios of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about something else that matters to you, Wisconsin Public Radio. We're helping raise money today to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You're raising the money to help support programs just like this one, like you just heard there with a member of Hillary Clinton's campaign. And yesterday we talked with Barack Obama's campaign, and next week we'll be talking with the Republican campaigns as well. So really giving you the chance to hear the information, make the decision, and maybe get involved with a call, too, if that's what you're wanting to do. That's worth something. That's why you listen, and it's how you've started to make sense of the world and the campaign. So won't you call this morning and become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Support programs like that one by becoming a member at 1-800-383-9772. And Joy Cardine, good morning.
Good morning, Veronica. And that was an interesting discussion, and it was one in a series of discussions, one of many political discussions that you have heard on Kathleen Dunn's program since this presidential campaign has begun. Whether you support Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or John McCain or Mike Huckabee or Ron Paul, for that matter, you support these kinds of discussions on this program and on Wisconsin Public Radio. Please vote for this kind of in-depth discussion from a wide variety of perspectives by calling in your pledge of any amount right now to 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Looks like, Veronica, we are approaching the halfway point to that $3,000 goal for this hour. So halfway there, but not there all the way. But time for you to help us reach that goal and to support quality public radio programming.
And don't forget, this is the last morning that you can pledge to support Kathleen Dunn's program, because the pledge drive ends tomorrow. This is our last weekday program here. So do seize the moment and don't let time get away from you. Become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join Courtney in Duluth, who says, I'm supporting Wisconsin Public Radio because it is the only news and information source that seems to be the most fair and balanced. The programs are exceptional, and I listen quite a bit. It's really hard to compare to other news outlets. So we thank Courtney for that comment. She's calling from Duluth, Minnesota, by the way, so Wisconsin Public Radio extends beyond the state, of course. And it's really, she makes a great point. It seems to be fair and balanced. It's just what we do here at Wisconsin Public Radio every day. We make sure that you get to make the decisions by hearing all sides of the argument. And that's important because we really need to decide for ourselves. The tools are what's important, and we give them to you, and your participation is important too. It's also important for you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. That's why we're here. And it's time for you to call and become a member. Maybe you've been listening for a while and haven't decided. Well, why not decide today to become a member? It's easy and it's quick, and you'll enjoy doing it too. So won't you call and become a member at 1-800-383-9772 or online WPR.org.
And you know, Veronica, you do feel better. You feel good once you make that call or pledge online because you know that you have taken that step from being a listener to becoming a listener supporter, that you are investing in Wisconsin Public Radio, that you are helping to allow this service to grow and to continue to provide quality programming to you and to the state of Wisconsin and beyond, as certainly we are heard in neighboring states and now via the internet all over the world. We do have people who will pledge who are listening along in other states and in other countries for that matter. Please become the next person to pledge. Any amount makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. You might want to consider $10 a month or more, and you can pay for it monthly if you'd like to do that on your credit card or debit card or through EFT, electronic funds transfer through your checking account. You can also pay for it with a check all at once, but that $10 a month level or more is the $120 pledge is the average pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it entitles you to the member benefit card, which is our way of saying thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, and you get 2-for-1 entrees at a bunch of restaurants or 2 nights for the price of one at some B&Bs or 2-for-1 tickets at cultural attractions all over the state, so it pays for itself in no time. 1-800-383-9772 to pledge any amount to support this radio station.
And Rhonda Fanning, Kathleen's producer, has just joined us. She's come in from saying goodbye to our last guest there. Hey, Rhonda.
Good morning. Good morning to our listeners. 800-383-9772 is that phone number on this, the last day of pledge. So please call in this hour. There's only a couple of hours of Kathleen Dunn's programs left to pledge during. So take your chance now. Pick up the phone, 800-383-9772, or you can go to our secure website. It just takes a few minutes, enter a few pieces of information, and you are on your way at WPR.org.
And Rhonda, you talk to the listeners when they call. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the programs that people have loved in the past, programs that maybe you produced?
I'm never surprised by the amount of calls. The phones always fill up no matter what the subject is. If it's, you know, the top archaeological discoveries of 2007 or it's talking about a certain campaign. But recent programs that we've had, of course, Madeleine Albright was a big one where there are a lot of people on the phone. Carl Bernstein, who journalist and author. Congressman Dave Obey's recently been on, former President Jimmy Carter. Studs Terkel, I know, who's the historian and the old radio host from way back when in Chicago. I know him and Kathleen had a great hour, and a lot of people were calling in. Bob and Ray, the comedy duo that we're on, she has... Kathleen does her quarterly comedy shows, which we probably are due to have one pretty soon.
Oh, yeah,
but,
that would be nice.
I tracked down Bob, and he was delighted that people still knew who he was, and you know, he came on, and it was a good hour. So these types of program kind of day in and day out here, but we need your support to keep these going. So if you could call now, 800-383-9772. Or log on and pledge at WPR.org.
When you're just going through that list, Rhonda, I recall many of those programs. And just imagine, just think of the access that you have to all of these great guests. You have... they're just a telephone call away. You can call in and talk directly to Madeleine Albright. I mean, where else do you get that opportunity but Wisconsin Public Radio and Kathleen Dunn's program? You can if you don't want to call in, you can just listen along. And it's great to hear the views and questions from listeners all over the state, not to mention the great interviewing that Kathleen does every day. And, of course, you too, Veronica, filling in this week. So you... That's worth a pledge of support from you. You value this program. You understand that this program is listener-supported. You want to show your support, especially for Kathleen Dunn, as she is listening at home right now. 1-800-383-9772. Make a pledge of any amount, and it will help support this program and all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772.
And Linda and Mercer Joy is echoing, of course, what you're saying there. No one does a better job of interviewing authors than Kathleen, says Linda. It's always hard to pick between supporting Kathleen and Calling All Pets, my two favorites.
And sometimes you get a pet shows on Kathleen.
That's so right.
You
She's get a dog fan.
And those are some of my favorite programs, too. But you don't have to choose. You really
That's
don't
right.
have to choose. I mean, your call right now, if you're listening now and you say, well, I love Kathleen, but, you know, sometimes I also love Talk of the Nation Science Friday. You can call in right now, and your pledge will certainly be used for all of the programming costs that listener support goes to. 1-800-383-9772. Do it right now, because you will help us reach this $3,000 goal that has been set for this hour. And it's important, especially on this last day of the Winter Pledge Drive, the last weekday of the Winter Pledge Drive, for us to make that goal so we end on track. And we can do that with your help. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org.
Just a couple of minutes left to go in this hour to support Kathleen Dunn's program. We have one next hour, but time is quickly running out. So do take a moment and become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. There are so many different ways to pay your pledge now. You can pay all at once or in monthly installments. We take all the major credit cards. You could become a sustaining partner with an ongoing monthly gift. So lots of ways to do it, but you do want to make that decision and become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. How many pledge drives have you listened to? Is this going to be the one where you pick up the phone and decide to become a member? Why not try it? Try it today, even just because you've been wanting to try but you're not sure. Just see how it feels. If you don't like it, you can always decide to stop later on, but try it today. I think you will find that you feel great about it when you support Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772. It's 1-800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org. And Rhonda Fanning and Kathleen Dunn, I wish you were here. Joy Gardine, thank you so much for being here.
Kathleen Dunn is listening. Thanks, Kathleen.
Yeah, thank you, Kathleen. And thank you for calling and becoming a member of Wisconsin Public Radio at 1-800-383-9772. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.